وإن العلماء هم الأقمار في كل خفاء أو ظلمة ودعاة لله الجبار شرحوا من علمهم حكمة إن العلماء هم الأقمار في كل خفاء أو ظلمة ودعاة لله الجبار شرحوا من علمهم حكمة لا يخشى الله لا يخشى الله.
There are some regrets in life that each one of us will live with, but we would never be able to undo it for the simple reason that time doesn't go back. And perhaps today is one of those days where I have a very great regret, and that is I was unable to meet the personality and take benefit from him, the likes of Maulana Ali Rahimahullah, who we are profiling this evening, such a great personality as we will learn of this evening. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Ulama Profile this Thursday evening, the 29th of October, with myself, Ubaidullah Boja. Inshallah, you with myself and the company of the family of Maulana Ali Rahimahullah for the next approximately 1 hour 40 minutes, inshallah ta'ala. With us, the lineup for this evening, it's an open line. If you want to give us a call, the number is 011-854-1548. Alternatively, you can send me a text on the number 071-878-9748, 071-878-9748, and inshallah we would read your text out, or alternatively you could give us a call. We have with us the son of Maulana Ali Rahimahullah, Maulana Zainul. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you, Maulana?
Alhamdulillah, very well. Maulana, jazakallah for taking out your time and speaking about your father, rahimahullah. It was only the wish that I had that we could have met him, but inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it possible in the years that will come, in the year after, inshallah.
Ameen, ameen.
Maulana, briefly tell us with regards to your father's family background.
My father, can I just start off from the birth and then carry
sure,
on?
Sure, you can do that, Maulana.
Sure, I'll just start, inshallah. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم. Maulana, my father's name is Maulana Ali Adam Musa, rahimahullah. He was born on the 26th of January 1936, corresponding with 1st Zulqa'dah 1354 Hijri, in the village of Kantaria near Baruj in the province of Gujarat in India. My father, rahmatullahi alayhi, enrolled at an early age at the Maktab in Kantaria, and his ustad was Qari Asrar al-Haq Sa'ad Daubandi, rahmatullahi alayhi. And the seeds of the acquisition of his deen and deeni knowledge were sown from this time of his life onwards. From his childhood, Wali Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, had a quality of making the khidmat of his asatiza. And he used to tell us and give us stories and relate to us how, as a child, he used to make khidmat of his ustad, Qari Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi. And he used to tell us that he used to polish his shoes for him, he used to make tea for him, and also used to clean and light up the paraffin lamps at his home and at madrasa. Wali Sahib has had one brother who has passed away, and my dada and dadi who had passed away a long time ago, and my wali sahab rahmatullah alayhi had four sisters as well. Then wali sahab rahmatullah alayhi, when he was in Maktab, his qari, his ustad, qari Asrar al-Haq sahab, approached my dada rahmatullah alayhi and told him, due to the intelligence and diligence of my father, he should educate my father further in the line of deen. So my dada rahmatullah alayhi told Qari Sahib that you should do whatever you see best for my child. So Qari Asrar al-Haq Sahib rahmatullah alayhi then personally took Wali Sahib rahmatullah alayhi to enroll him at Darul Ulum Ashrafiyah in Randir in Gujarat in the year 1951. Should I carry on?
Do you have any questions regarding? Please do carry on.
Okay. And at Ashrafiyah, My walita, rahmatullah alayhi, from Saf al-Awwal, that is the Arabi Awwal class that used to be known that time, he was enrolled and engrossed in the acquiring of Dini knowledge, and till 1958, when he completed Dawra Hadith in that Madrasa Ashrafiya in Randir. He attained his Dini knowledge from the hearts of some of the great luminaries who possessed oceans of knowledge, such as Sheikh al-Hadith, Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Raza Ajmeri, rahmatullah alayhi, Hazrat Mawlana Hakim Abu Shifa, rahmatullah alayhi, Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Samad Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Qadir Kawiwala, rahmatullah alayhi, and the Muhtamim of Jamia Ashrafiya at that time, Mawlana Ashraf Randiri, rahmatullah alayhi, among other ulama. Whilst at Ashrafiya also, alhamdulillah, my late father, rahmatullah alayhi, also continued the khidmat of his asatiza and became very close to Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Raza Ajmeri Sahib, rahimahullah. He used to relate to us some of his stories, and sometimes he used to mention these anecdotes, and one of them that comes to mind, he used to say that Hazrat Mawlana Ajmeri, rahmatullah alayhi's ahliya, was not very ill. And he used to then go to Hazrat's house and clean and sweep Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi's house, and also make sure that everything in the house was done well, so that when Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi used to come back from teaching, he would find his house in order.
Subhanallah.
And Hazrat Mawlana Ajmeri Rahmatullah Alayhi also used to tell other students of the class, he used to say that Ali jaisa koi saaf nahi kar sakta, that like my wali sahab rahmatullah, referring to my wali sahab rahmatullah alayhi, that no one can sweep like how my father used to sweep. In a jovial manner, with love and affection for his ustad, my father used to relate these stories to us.
Subhanallah.
And another incident also that comes to mind, and because of his love for his asatiza, he used to be very attached to them. He mentioned us to the family, myself as well, and my sisters, this one incident. He used to say that when he was in madrasa, he used to get boils on his head, especially during the summer months. And because he had the topi on, and his sheikh, his ustaz, didn't know that this was a problem with him, sometimes out of shafqat, Hazrat used to put his hand on the head of my wali sahab, rahmatullah alayhi. But because of the boils being there, he suffered some excruciating pain one time, and tears started rolling down his cheeks. So, looking at this, Hazrat Ajmeri rahmatullah alayhi got very perturbed and thought, why is this child crying when I'm trying to show shafqat to him? And from that day, Hazrat Mawlana Ajmer rahmatullah alayhi stopped, not because of any anger towards him, but just to show him some form of tarbiyat, he stopped talking to him. And this greatly worried my wali sahab rahmatullah alayhi. At the tender age that he was, he used to go try and go towards his ustad and ask for maaf and ask him, what is it that is causing this non-response from himself? But his ustad rahmatullah alayhi used to turn away from him, to such an extent that he used to say that after salah, he used to look at his ustad and wish that how I can go and be able to reconnect with himself. And he used to say, sometimes I used to see from the corner of my eye that Hazrat Ajmeri rahmatullah alayhi used to look at me. But whenever I turned towards him, he used to turn away. This carried on for a while, and this perturbation carried on in the heart of wali sahab rahmatullah alayhi, and he used to wake up at the time of tahajjud and go to the masjid of the madrasa. And once he saw that at this time of tahajjud, Hazrat Mawlana Ajmeri sahab rahmatullah alayhi came towards him and hugged him. And then he said, do you know why I did that? So he related to him that I was dreaming. And in my dream, I dreamt that Hazrat Mawlana Hussain Madani rahmatullah alayhi is in my dream, and I'm going to greet him. And as I approached Hazrat Maulana Madani rahmatullah alayhi to greet him, Hazrat Maulana did not give me his hand and said, go and appease the heart of that child whose heart is paining, and that is why I am here.
Subhanallah.
So this was the association that he had with his asatiza and all the ulama of deen.
You're listening to Ulama Profiles with myself, Ubaidullah Boja. And we have Mawlana Zainul from Chepstone, and we are profiling Mawlana Ali Adam Rahimahullah. It's an open line. You can give us a call. The number is 011-854-1548. Alternatively, you can send me a WhatsApp or a text message on the number 071-878-9748. I must say there's quite a bit of messages already that have come in from the daughters and the daughter-in-laws. As the program progresses, inshallah, with the help of Allah, we will try and we will read them out to you. Currently, we're speaking about Mawlana Ali Adam Rahimahullah's life of studies, and with regards to that, we've come to the point whereby Mawlana was studying in Darul Uloom Ashrafiya, and obviously his ta'alluq and his relationship with his Ustad Qari Ajmeri Rahimahullah. Mawlana Zainul, you may carry on.
Okay. At Ashrafiya, my Mawali Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was a very diligent and dedicated student. I had spoken to one of his classmates and a childhood friend who went with him to Maktab and to Darul Uloom and completed with him in the same year. Mawlana Hassan Sahib, who's living in Leicester in England at the moment. And he told me that your Wali Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was a very intelligent student and used to be amongst the top students in his class. And Wali Sahib Rahmatullah Ali's commitment and punctuality was such that his Ustad and Muhtamim of Jamia, Mawlana Ashraf Randeri Rahmatullah Ali, granted him open permission to take leave of absence whenever he wished to do so. But due to his commitment to his studies, Wali Sahib Rahmatullah Ali did not take advantage of this favor, and in fact did not even attend the wedding of two of his sisters that took place during his studies. Wali Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was also in madrasa, in Darul Uloom, greatly involved in the work of da'wah and tabligh, because he was now exposed to all these things and also the line of tasawwuf and ta'aleem and ta'allum. Wali Sahib Rahmatullah Ali got very involved in the work of da'wah and tabligh, and prior to every holidays, he used to go and make tashkil of the students in the madrasa. And sometimes he used to get the remarks of the students who used to say, aapke paas kuch aur kaam nahi hai, don't you have any other work to do? You want to always take us out in jamaat. But alhamdulillah, through the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Wali Sahib rahmatullah alayhi continued the effort and persevered, and alhamdulillah, many jamaats used to come out. He, alhamdulillah, had spent time in his student days with Mawlana Ibrahim Dewla Sahib, Mawlana Ahmed Laat Sahib, Damat Barakatuhuma, and Mawlana Suleyman Janchi, Rahmatullah Alayhi, and other luminaries of the work of da'wah in tabligh.
JazakAllahu khairan. Listeners, we're listening to Ulama Profile with myself, Mawlana Ubaidullah Boja, as well as Mawlana Zainul, and alhamdulillah, we are discussing Mawlana Ali Rahimahullah. I just, before we carry on, let's just go through a few of the WhatsApp messages that have come in. One of the most beautiful advices from my father was, always make dua for others before you make dua for yourself. I remember clearly when Baji told me about his dua at the Kaaba, when he held on to the ghilaf and he made sincere dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all of his children pious spouses. Alhamdulillah. Baji loved to see this duel to be realized. And this was one of the daughters sending a message with regards to their father. Mawlana Zainul, you may carry on.
So, after the completion of his Alim Fadl course in 1958, Wali Sahib Rahmatullah Ali then went out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a year, and which he then regularly continued throughout his life. Wali Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, alhamdulillah, was fortunate enough to spend some time in the path of Allah with Hazrat Ji Mawlana Yusuf Khandalvi Rahmatullah Ali after his studies as well. After returning from Jamaat, Wali Sahib Rahmatullah Ali then in 1955, at the age of 23, got married to my mother, my Walida Muhtarama, May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant her a long life and sabr in this testing time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep her healthy. And then also, after just getting married, he took up a post in a village called Degam, a post of imamat and maktab. His salary at the time, his friend told me, that was 50 Indian rupees.
Allah.
I don't know how valuable it was at that time, but nevertheless, he took up that position, and alhamdulillah, for 7 years, Waris Sahab rahmatullah alayhi had given his time in the effort and the work of deen in that village of Degam. In the first year of his appointment, he used to walk every day from his village of Kantaria to the village of Degam, which is approximately plus minus, I would say, about 3 kilometers. And this place, or I think in Gujarat in that time, the bid'ah was very widespread, and Degam in itself was not an exception either. So Wali Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, in his first year, in the first few years of his teaching career, he experienced quite a bit of resistance from the people who were inclined towards the practices of bid'ah. But through perseverance, patience, tolerance, wisdom, and the mashwara and dua of his asatiza, alhamdulillah, through the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Wali Sahib rahmatullah alayhi was able to win the hearts of the people, and alhamdulillah, through the fadl of Allah, they also started joining the work of tabligh and started making the effort of deen. And also, alhamdulillah, today that town, there's a lot of effort of deen taking place. In that time when he spent in that village, alhamdulillah, the masjid was being extended, and Wali Sahib rahmatullah alayhi was personally laying the bricks and mortar during the extension of that masjid.
Subhanallah. Just a few, some of the SMSs and all of this, inshallah, we will read of the daughters in the second hour. We are discussing Mu'ana Ali rahimahullah, and Mu'ana is one of those people who are one of the senior ulama, but someone who was very, very quiet. We've thus far discussed with regards to Morana's initial education, where Morana had completed, where Morana had then initiated his career with regards to starting the maktab. And thereafter, inshallah, Morana Zainul, we're going to ask you to come a little bit to the time whereby Morana left for India to come to Zambia.
Mm-hmm. I will come to that in a moment.
Sure.
Let me just complete quickly.
Sure.
Then, inshallah, is it fine to do that?
Yes, then please carry on, Morana.
Sure. So, in this town of Degam, an incident comes to mind which he related to the family once also, that there was a tension amongst the Muslims and the Hindus at that time. And it so happened that some nights the Hindus came to the masjid and the toilets of the masjid. And then in those days, we used to have those pit latrines. And they used to come into those toilets and soil the walls of the toilets with feces. And Wali Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, foreseeing, you know, the foresight that he had, that if I have to leave this thing like this, the Muslims will become enraged and then they will retaliate. To prevent any conflict and violence breaking out, any riots breaking out between the Muslims and the Hindus, Wali Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, very much earlier than the time of Fajr, used to come to these toilets and personally clean the walls of the toilets to prevent any outbreak of violence amongst the Muslims and the Hindus.
Subhanallah. And we have a caller on the line from the UK. Caller, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum.
Brother Ismail, jazakallah for joining us. Your contribution to our program this evening.
Ji, assalamu alaikum to you, and assalamu alaikum to Maulana Ubaid, Maulana, who's Maulana Ali's son. Just to mention, my name is Ismail Jassad. I'm calling from Leicester in the United Kingdom. Previously studied in Zambia, and Maulana Ali used to be my ustad. I used to be one of his favorite kids, because before Maulana Ali's family came to Zambia, and even after his family came, Maulana Ali always used to choose me to write all the reports for the children whenever the jalsa used to take place, when I never used to be there. Maulana Ali always used to nominate me to partake in the jalsa. And I remember, the most saddest part of my sheikh or my ustad was when Maulana Ali was actually asked to leave Zambia. And I remember I was at the airport when I bid him farewell. That was the most saddest part. But all I want to say is, I learned a lot from my ustad, and I remember one incident which comes to mind. I remember we were in madrasa. Maulana actually taught me how to pray namaz, and alhamdulillah, I'm very regular with my namaz. Allah gives this reward not only to my parents, but to my ustad as well. And most of all, I remember we were in madrasa once, and we were asked to learn Dua-i Kunud. And, you know, everyone struggled. I was the first person to learn, and Maulana said, you know, whoever learns Dua-i Kunud, there was a cricket.
Hello. The phone, I think, is cut. Maulana Zainul, you were mentioning an amazing incident that Maulana Ali Rahimahullah would actually go early in the morning before Fajr to make sure that the bathroom and the toilets were clean so as to not cause a problem between the Muslims and the Hindus of the area.
Jee, that's correct.
Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him abundantly.
Amen.
Maulana, please do carry on.
Jee. So then after Begum, he spent 7 years in the ta'lim and imamat at that place, and afterwards he was given a post of a muhtamim in another town called Sitpan. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it properly, but they were avoiding his class and maktab and the work of imamat that he carried out there. He spent 3 years of his time there before he was called by the Lusaka Muslim Society to come to Zambia. In 1969, he came to Zambia and in the city of Lusaka at the Madrasa Hidayatul Islam, and he took up the position of a grade one class, teaching the Takti, the Kalima, and as you've heard, one of his students speaking, and he also was teaching the, in the first few years, he used to teach them Salah and Dua-i Qunut and other Duas as well. Basically, his passion was to teach the Takti and the basics of Islam, because he knew that this was the basis of every Muslim child. This is where the person will be safe. If the foundation is correct, they will be safe from the irtidad. And this was his passion. He continued, alhamdulillah, he had great tact in teaching the young children who used to be 4 or 5 years old when they used to be enrolled in the madrasa. And so much so that a child, and I personally am talking from experience because I also started my Alifa with my Walisab Rahmatullah Ali. That a child would start with Alif Ba at the beginning of the year, and by the end of the year, alhamdulillah, the child would be able to read the Amma Tara as Nazira. Alhamdulillah, also the five kalimas and many of the du'as that we recite daily were being taught by him in the first year.
Jazakallahu khairah. I would like to just read a message that has come, a tribute to my beloved Nana. Alhamdulillah, I am one of the fortunate granddaughters who were taught their first footsteps by my dear Nana. I remember the days when my brothers and I were so privileged to have our foundation in Quran done by my Nana himself. My brother, more than me, as he completed Hifz with Nana, alhamdulillah. He was just not a grandfather, but an ustad, showering his love on us at all times. I was also overwhelmed with joy to have my Nana perform my nikah. I can still picture the excitement and the happiness of his face. My Nana was an outstanding soul. I miss him dearly. May Allah fill his qabr with noor and give him the highest stages that come from zakiyah. Jazakallahu khairah. It's an open line, and you can give us a call or send us a message. The number is 011-854-1548. Alternatively, you can just send me a WhatsApp or a SMS message on the number 071-878-9748. And inshallah, we will read your message out on air. Mawlana Zainul, please do carry on.
So in Lusaka, alhamdulillah, together with his teaching, he was greatly involved in the work of da'wah and tabligh as well. He used to go out in a part of Allah, especially to the location in South Africa, we know as locations there in Lusaka. They used to call it the compounds. They used to go where the indigenous Muslims used to live. And alhamdulillah, they used to go out there and do the work of tabligh as well, and amongst the people who lived in and around the masjid. And whenever the Jamaat came, and they came to Lusaka at the masjid, in the Jami Masjid of Lusaka, alhamdulillah, Wali Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi made a lot of nusrat for the Jamaat as well. And whenever any Muzurghani Deen, any alim or any person of deen used to come to Lusaka, and if he saw them in the masjid, he would make it a point to invite them home. Any of the great luminaries of Deoband, especially when they used to come visit Zambia, he used to ensure that at least if they did not have a meal, they used to come and have tea. But regarding this, inshallah, his ta'alluq with the ulama kiram and the Buzhuraganidin, inshallah, Mufti Yaqub will inshallah elaborate further on that.
Inshallah. This will be after the 9 p.m. news, inshallah, where Mufti Saab will discuss. Muhammad, coming to South Africa, and your father, in terms of how he came to South Africa and the initial stages of his stuff in South Africa, perhaps you could touch for us a little on that.
Sure. What had happened is in 1986, Wali Saab Rahmatullah Ali had an eye operation done in Zambia. And what had happened is, due to some complications arising from the operation, he had lost his eyesight in the left eye. It was a cataract operation to be done. And because of that, the right eye then also developed a cataract. And then the family, with the insistence, especially of the family, especially with my eldest brother, Sheikh Firozuddin, he for the right eye, operation for the right eye, he was told to come to South Africa and to get his operation done. So in 1988, Wali Saab Rahmatullah Alayhi, he came actually in 87 to get it checked up, and in 1988 he had his operation in the right eye done to remove the cataract, and alhamdulillah that went well. And in that time he met Haji Abdul Wahab Mullah Sahib, Damat Barakatuh, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him afiyah and grant him a long life. Ameen.
Ameen.
He asked my Wali Sahib to settle here in Port Shepston in Natal and teach in the maktab there. And he had a very good bond created with Wali Saab Rahmatullah Ali. And alhamdulillah, Wali Saab then agreed to his request, and the family then moved in 1989 to Port Shepston in South Africa.
Wali before you carry on, we have a call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Who am I speaking to?
Hafiz Ahmed Musa.
Hafiz Ahmed, you, Morana Ali's grandson. What would you like to share with us this evening regarding your grandfather?
My sister wrote an essay last week regarding my grandfather. In school she wrote this essay.
Gee.
So I'd just like to read the essay.
Please do so.
My moment of pain and regret. Fatima, pack your bag. You are taking leave. Those few words shot like an arrow through my heart, piercing it, slowly cracking it, until it shattered, for I knew why I had been told this. I grabbed my bag and ran down, paying no attention to the calls of my friends around me. The short ride home with my usually noisy siblings was dead quiet for once. Little did we know what was in store for us. You see, the previous night had been a long, tiring and stressful one. We had been informed of a major heart attack that my dada had suffered. Although he was stabilized, the next morning everything changed. His health deteriorated rapidly. My father, aunt, and uncle were by his side, holding him during the last few moments of his life. He spoke to them calmly, giving them advice. He read his kalima, made a dua for himself and the ummah, and continuously recited zikr. He waited for my ma to enter the room, gazed at her, turned to his right side, and closed his eyes. All the machines suddenly stopped. As like any other death, it was shocking, and at first I could not comprehend the calamity that had befallen my family. It was only after seeing my dada's helpless body as it lay in a piece of cloth, his face radiating with noor, that I realized what had just happened. When it finally hit me, the tears started flowing uncontrollably. My dada was my role model. The knowledge he was blessed with was greater than anything you can find in books. He was down to earth, pious. He loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his religion, his family, and his books. My beloved dada was one of the fairest, calmest, and most patient people I have ever seen, and he took no heed of worldly possessions. Sitting next to his body, the only thing I could think of was that I hadn't done enough. There was so much I could have learned from my intelligent dada, but now, it was too late. He was gone, taking his great advice and knowledge with him. If there was one thing I learned from his death, it was that the emotional heartache experienced when a loved one passes away is incomparable. It twists your insides and makes you feel uneasy, but it also teaches you to be brave and to remember that everything is from Allah. This was my moment of pain and regret, the moment my dada passed away. I am truly privileged to be the granddaughter of marhum Maulana Ali Adam Musa. He will forever be engraved in my heart. Jazakallah.
Jazakallah khair, Hafiz. We have another call on the line, Maulana Imran Khamisa. Maulana, alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum wa sallam wa barakatuh.
Maulana, jazakallah for taking out your time this evening. Your input to tonight's program regarding a great personality.
Gee, really, Hazrat Maulana Sahib, Maulana Ali Adam Sahib, was really a remarkable personality, Maulana. You know, with the wonderful things that his son Zainul Abidin, Maulana Zainul Abidin, mentioned concerning the work he did and the extent he engaged in terms of da'wah, and deen became so much part of his life. He continued with the great work when he came here to Poshepson as well. In fact, he was so, you know, knowing him, so passionate about teaching. He was wonderful company. He was a sincere advisor. And above all this, despite this great quality that he had, you know, what was striking, that he was such a humble old man, brimming with wisdom, whose value, should I say, we only appreciate now that he's gone, and how correct and apt that saying, "An-ni'matu idha fuqidat 'urifat," something valuable only when it's gone, then you begin to appreciate it. Really, Maulana was these qualities and more. You know, just to, you know, think about his life, I would think about him being here, you know, with people, right? He was such a personality, he could fit into any company. Whether he was seated with people who are going out for the first time in Jamaat, or he is sitting with old experienced workers, or for that matter, because Maulana was within the circle of the Kabirin. And in each situation, Maulana knew exactly how to carry himself and make those around him feel so comfortable. I think this was really another speciality about him, you know. I just qualified in 1991, and Maulana was already here teaching in a madrasa, you know. And as a young alim, you know, my colleagues also would agree with me if I say that Maulana was very, very encouraging. You know, when you come young, you're still nervous about what you are doing, and you know you're doing the right thing, you're doing it correctly, and but here he was to give you that constructive criticism. You know, he commended that the good that was done, and he actually privately would advise you when you may have erred in some way or the other, you know. And, you know, personally I've been a recipient of his goodness, his kindness, his warm words, and even subjected to correction by him as well. I got to know Maulana initially when Maulana came, he was teaching in the maktab, and since he just had come here to make some trips to the Home Affairs, and I would take Maulana and Appa also to the Home Affairs and to try and sort out that kind of documentation. And then little did I know, Alhamdulillah, Maulana was also responsible for sorting out my Minister of Home Affairs, so he informed me a partner also.
MashaAllah.
So I'm indebted to him for life, you know. And also, Maulana himself, you know, when he was something you didn't do correctly, you know, in his own peculiar style and approach, he would say, Maulana, pata nahi, is masala mein agar iska gunjaish hai, yani zara usko dekh lena, you know. And somehow, when you knew that there was something there, but he didn't tell you on your face directly, he wanted you to discover on your own without you feeling too bad. So this was also a very great quality that he had. And one alim also mentioned to me that Maulana, alim in his, he just made imamat, and Maulana met him after he performed the salah. And he came to him and told him and advised him very nicely. He says, you know, when you're performing salah, you're very young and energetic, but try to make it a habit of prolonging the tasbihat in ruku and sajda to 5 times instead of the 3, so that the elderly people in the jamaat are able to comfortably read their salah.
SubhanAllah.
So he will pull you aside and give you this kind of wonderful word of advice, like a real fatherly figure. Maulana himself is known for, you know, he loved reading kitabs, And not only he was a loqit man and ilm with him, he would share his knowledge with others, and other ulama here in the town would also agree. Whenever you go to any function, whether it's a walima or a jalsa, and you sit next to Maulana, you know, you definitely, just spending 5 minutes with him, just 5 minutes with Hazrat Maulana Ali Sahib, you will leave from there a wiser person.
SubhanAllah.
You know, he remember some anecdote of some akabir, something that happened, and you know, in that kind of mehfil, you know, he knew how to keep the company smiling, he knew when to be serious, and you know, he had so many lovely anecdotes also to share on various occasions. Maulana himself, as I mentioned, he used to read books, he was a bookworm like that. If you go somewhere, you would see a book, you would borrow it and read it, lend it to another alim and return it. And a very good habit that Maulana had, I think it was the work of Dawah and Tabligh. You know, he was engaged in it completely, till his last day. I mean, I think the week before the Maulana had busted the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Maulana had made the ilan in the masjid. I mean, in his 80s, he's in his 80s, and he has a man who stands up to make the ilan.
Allahu Akbar.
And he wasn't a person who looked for trouble, you know. He was there quietly doing his dini work. Quietly doing his dini work. And, you know, Maulana Zainul Abidin spoke about engaging in da'wah among the indigenous people. And I still remember very clearly Maulana saying one day, you know, there was a kind of a meeting where some people of the town were speaking about da'wah and how, you know, like making pamphlets and sending it to the various locations. And he quite emphatically mentioned, he says, we will never get the message across if we don't live with them, we don't stay with them, we don't be with them, and we don't sit and eat with them. Never will that asar go across just by sending some people in terms of communication. And he not only said that, he actually lived it like that, you know. And he would go and he would try to do whatever good he could in any time that was available to him. As far as the masjid is concerned, he was really like that, you know, al-mu'min fil masjid kasamak fil ma, you know. He thrived in dini activities, you know. He was happiest in the masjid. He was comfortable in those surroundings. So immersed in the activities of deen. More recently in the town masjid, that's where his flat was, about 200, 300 meters away from the masjid. There's a long, steep incline when you get to his flat and you walk up some stairs. But on most occasions, he would walk to the masjid and he would walk back, despite being so old. And Maulana himself, when there's a jamaat in another masjid, he would ask somebody to drop him at the other masjid so he could spend some time with the jamaat there as well. So he didn't shirk any responsibility. You know, he did it with a passion. He believed it was right. He believed it was correct. And he loved what he was doing. You know, when they speak about the manner that he passed away, and I'm sure the sons and others would dwell a bit more on that. But because he lived his life having that kind of fikr, Allah Ta'ala made his last moments like that, but he also did the same kind of fikr. And you know, كَمَا تَحْيُونَ تَمُوتُونَ, you know, and how you live, that's how you will die. And his life was that. His life was deen. He gave his life to deen completely. I mean, even his wonderful family, the surviving members of his family, how many of them he's got them in line of deen? They've all made wonderful homes, alhamdulillah, doing work for deen in various places. Allah Ta'ala accepted from them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let it run for generations. In terms of whatever good he has instilled in them and instilled in the community. And really, you know, if the family feels that they've lost a father, we know, as a member of the community, I would say that you're not alone in your loss of a father.
Inshallah, we're going to ask Maulana Zainul to come and give us his concluding remarks after the 9 p.m. news, and we will take Maulana inshallah after the 9 p.m. news. I just want to go quickly through a few SMSs. Assalamu alaikum, Maulana Ubaidullah. Maulana Ali Saab was my ustad and completed my hifz under Maulana Rahmatullah Ali at Darul Ulum Miftahul Falah in Harding. What a personality. Patience, humility was his salient features. Maulana had an art of teaching indeed, especially with revered students, whom many had completed the hifz under. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill his qabr with nur, and that comes from Maulana Muhammad Qaji of Babatan. late Hazrat Mawlana Ali Mia Sahib was pious, humble, and dedicated. We four brothers are very fortunate to be his students. Can never forget his muhabbat and shafqat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate his stages. Ameen. This comes from another person. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Mahmoud Badat of Lusaka, Zambia. I am one of the fortunate who had the privilege to be taught by Hazrat Mawlana. I remember the effort of Mawlana in teaching his students, and I remember putting his full in teaching. I remember how he used to prepare me for the presentation at the annual Madrasa Jalsa. I was with Mawlana San Salahuddin at school and Madrasa. We played together, and with that I was very close to Mawlana. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate Mawlana insha'Allahu ta'ala. Is another coming. Assalamu alaikum. Jazakumullah for a wonderful program about our honorable and respected marhum Mawlana Ali rahimahullah. I can never forget the patience with which Hazrat Mawlana conducted himself as he taught our children. My son is now in his second year alim, and he will be the means of ithal al-sawab for Mawlana insha'Allah. That comes from Umm Muawiyah. We take a break now insha'Allah. After the 9 p.m. news, we will ask Mawlana Zainul to conclude, and thereafter insha'Allah we will begin the program with Mufti Wali. Mawlana Zainul, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi, and welcome back.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mawlana, I know you've prepared much more, and there's so much more to say.
Yeah.
But Mawlana, your concluding remarks about an amazing father that we're all listening to in the last hour.
See, I would conclude with this remark that his commitment towards deen was to such an extent that he took all the branches of deen equally, whether it was the work of Dawah and Tabligh. I know we've elaborated quite a bit on Dawah and Tabligh, and inshallah Mufti Yaqub will talk about his line in Tasawwuf. So, Wali Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, whether it was Dawah and Tabligh, Tasawwuf, Ta'lim and Ta'allum of both males and females, he gave his time and life for all of it. And he always maintained that all the efforts are important and necessary for the upkeep of the deen. He used to say that they were all walls of a home. They were like a wall of a home. If one wall is weak, then entire home will become weak. So inshallah, if we need to bring that in our life and take all the branches of deen and bring it alive in our life, inshallah, our life and our deen will become strong. And I would just, as you asked me in the beginning of the program, you just said what family, etc. I had mentioned to you regarding his sisters and brother. He then also, as I'm mentioning, as one of the sons, Wali Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi has 5 sons and 5 daughters and 31 grandchildren and 1 great-grandchild. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as you said, there is much more to say, but inshallah others will elaborate further. And I make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him the highest stages in Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill his qabr with nur. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give entire family sabr, especially my mother, Walida Muhtarama. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the qualities that were embedded in my father so that we may also carry out the work of deen the way he carried out. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the husn khatima that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had bestowed my father, rahmatullah alayhi.
Mawlana, jazakallah so much.
Ameen.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you like your father. Something as well, inshallah.
Ameen.
I've got quite a bit of to go through, so I just want to go through them rather quickly. Atifa, the father-in-law, says, my father-in-law treated his daughter-in-law just like his daughters. He always spoke to them with so much of respect, love, humility, and compassion. I will always miss the honor of him gracing us with his presence at my place. His gratitude and appreciation to the little things in life will always be cherished. Another message is coming in from one of the daughters. We as the family feel we not only lost a father, but a spiritual mentor as well. Whenever we needed any advice, we could turn to him. He always encouraged us to serve deen in every possible way, whether it may be work of da'wah or ta'lim or ta'allum for males and females, and used to be extremely happy if we did so. He was very particular of pabandi on time, and he used to get upset if we were 5 minutes late for class. When I was going through my treatment of chemotherapy and the days that followed, I obviously used to feel weak. My mom used to stop me from going to teach. My father used to say, Betty, try to go to madrasa. What harm will it cause you to sit and teach a hadith? But by you missing one more day, it will cause harm to the students.
He wouldn't want to cause any inconvenience to any one of us. If he needed something but noticed we would be busy, he would do it himself. From Umm Muhammad, my beloved Abba always encouraged us to take an active part in the work of da'wah. He used to say, don't make children your excuse for not coming out in Mastura Jamaat. We are here to look after them and we will take care of them. 4 years ago when I had the opportunity to go with him Nizamuddin, I realized my Abba's love for the pious and the amount of knowledge he had regarding them. Many used to ask him to take them to the historical sites. He took us, and I remember well what he explained to us of our pious elders, especially when we visited the grave of Shah Waliullah. He also mentioned about how quickly and sadly things have changed in Delhi. When we used to visit Delhi in the 60s, we used to see even the non-Muslim ladies dressed with haya. Today, Muslims have lost their haya and removed the hijab. As our Abba has lost his sight on one eye due to a cataract approximately 25 years ago, in that same safar of Delhi, we took him for an eye test. The doctor explained that a cornea transplant can be done and he can restore his eyesight easily. As we knew his love for reading kitabs, we encouraged him a lot. But all he said was, Alhamdulillah, I can read quite well with one eye and that is enough. I am happy with the condition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept me in. This is indeed the most difficult task of my life. How do I explain my feelings about such an impeccable being? Words can never do justice. I always knew this day would come, but nothing prepared me for the pain. My beloved father, the best husband, the best son, the best brother, and the best grandfather, always putting others' needs before his, never asking help from his spouse and his 20 children and grandchildren. No love for this dunya or anything in it, but fikr and fikr for his deen, the ummah and the akhirah. Never a 5 rand in his pocket, not even knowing what his wages were. My loving, passionate and most caring father, you have left such an indelible void in our hearts. I still remember when I accompanied my dear father for his eye operation to South Africa. He could barely see, he had lost his eyesight in one eye, which was not covered with the cataract. After his operation was successful in one eye and the patch was removed, I will never forget how ecstatic he was that he could look inside the Quran and read after approximately 2 years. He never put the Quran down. I have one message that I would like to read, and this is something which is extremely important for us, and it is something that we can understand when we speak with regards to friendship and when we speak with regards to the people that understood and realized and created relationship. And that is the message that I have received from Morana Yunus Desai Rahimahul Damat Barakatuhum, and Morana sent me a message and he asked if I could be so kind and play it after the 9 p.m. news. And I thought we ought to honor people like this. Morana says, Morana, neither do the ability nor the words to describe the virtue of this man of Allah. Mawlana Ali transcended piety to a degree that changed the lives of people with whom he associated in the town of Port Shepstone. My love and respect for this mujahid of Deen of Islam bears testimony to the fact of a deep-rooted love and an unwavering respect. He oozed the minutest sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Day in and day out, he would be seen in the left corner of the masjid reading the Quran, Kalam of Allah. With such kasrat engrossed his time in secluded ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, Mawlana Ali was our Amir, and his very love for deen made him respected in our community. His nasiha to me personally, in regularly discussions with him, granted the impetus to strengthen my iman. He leaves behind a file of pious offspring and a son-in-law of the caliber of Mufti Yaqub Valley, whose Darul Uloom in our town bears testimony of the du'as of Morana, and all that graduate from this institute will be a legacy of the Amir of Port Shepstone. I personally salute this man who magnified what is to venerate the Sunnah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him the highest stages. Ameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a reality in our life. I would like you to listen to a clip of Morana, inshallah, and after that we speak to Mufti Yaqub Valley.
We have a task. We have challenges. We are here. with a responsibility on our shoulders and our conscience, for which we will be accountable and answerable in the court of Allah Jalla Shanuhu, and also to face Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that the deen for which I had actually laid my entire comforts and my entire life, did you at least dedicate your time or your perspiration and a few coppers of yours, or were you there in the world only for your own comforts, while the deen of Allah Jalla Shanuhu has been massacred all around you? Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu at one occasion mentioned to Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, when Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu opposed him when he had decided to invade or to counter challenge those who were refusing to discharge the zakat or forward it to the Baytul Mal after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He addressed Umar and said, "Jabbarun fil jahiliyyati wa khawwarun fil Islam." Oh Umar, where are you?
صلاة الله من رب رحيم صلاة الله من رب كريم صلاة الله من رب رحيم صلاة الله من رب كريم صلاة الله من رب رحيم صلاة الله من رب كريم أرقت وبات ليلي لا يزول وليل أخي المصيبة فيه طول أرقت وبات ليلي لا يزول وليل أخي المصيبة فيه طول نبي كان يجل الشك عنها بما يوحى إليه وما يقول صلاة الله من رب رحيم صلاة الله من رب كريم درود اس پر کہ جس کا نام تسکین دل و جان ہے درود اس پر کہ جس کے خلق کی تفسیر قرآن ہے درود اس پر کہ جس کا نام تسکین دل و جان ہے درود اس پر کہ جس کے خلق کی تفسیر قرآن ہے درود اس پر کہ جس کی بزم میں قسمت نہیں.
Respected listeners, sorry for that clip. This clip was in the Jalsa whereby Mufti Saab was on air, and then I think in the Jalsa they just uploaded the wrong clip. So inshallah, during the course of the program, we will try and make sure that we get the right clip inshallah. And we will try inshallah that we are able to just get Maulana Ali Rahmatullah Ali's voice. We have with us now at the moment Mufti Yaqub Ali. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum.
Hello, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mufti Saab, jazakallah for taking out your time this evening.
No problem, you're welcome.
Mufti Saab, you're the son-in-law of Mawlana Ali rahimahullah, and you are quite well aware of Mufti Saab, Mawlana Ali rahmatullah alayhi, his life regarding his khidmat in the community and his relationship with the seniors and the elders of our religion of Islam, the akabir of this ummah. You want to share with us some of these experiences?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسول الكريم. Obviously, this is a very big task that has been extended to me, and I feel that I won't be able to do justice because of the fact that generally the Ahlullah, they hide themselves in shrouds of secrecy. So before I commence, I would just like to say a poem in Urdu, and that poem is Hello.
Ji, Mufti Sahab, please carry on.
Should I carry on?
Ji.
Ji. So I'd like to share a poem with you in Urdu, inshallah, Al-Aziz. And the poem is, Jo te nuri wo ke aflaq par, Nisle tal tak reh gaye khaf par, Those people, those Nurani souls, are leaving this khabood and this world one by one, and they're taking all their ulum and all their wisdom to their graves and leaving such a khala and vacuum that we find that there's nobody to fill those vacuums. Nevertheless, Hazrat, my father-in-law, and my father, Hazrat Maulana Ali Sahib, rahimahullah, Adam, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him in the akhirat with the highest maqam.
Ameen.
Was a person, according to me, personally as an alim, when I done an analysis of his life, what I found was that his maqam of fanayat was ajib. He reached, in my opinion, at the highest maqam of fanayat, where he humbled himself to such an extent that he could associate with a small child in a maktab. He could associate with most senior ulama, and he was so humble and kind that any dini program, in anywhere, whoever is conducting it, he would have no pride in his heart to sit in that program, although he was the most senior person.
Gee.
In fact, to the extent that when our Shaykh Hazrat Al-Zarata, Daman Barakatuhum, Adam Allah, Fuyuzahu Alayna, when he phoned, he would first ask a question that, how is your father-in-law? The first question he would ask is, how is Maulana Arifa? So Hazrat Maulana Arifa, rahimahullah, he was an ajeeb person that I felt that he hid himself in so much of secrecy that kisi nukun ko nahi pehchana. Nobody actually recognized him. Or kisi ne unki sahi qadar nahi ki. And none of us made the qadar of him that was due. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him, as you heard from my senior colleagues, Mawlana Zainul and Mawlana Imran Sahab, of a number of such beautiful qualities. But I think that his sincerity is what is amazing to me. When he came to Harb, and when the madrasa, he was the founder of the madrasa, he came to me one day and said, that Himmat Karlo, that has some courage and at the madrasa of this place called Mufatwa, then it was based on his mashwara and his targheeb that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it in my heart that a senior person and the father-in-law, the highest person, is actually pushed to us. You should not know to it. So I basically said that they to his targheeb, and alhamdulillah, the madrasa was started, and for approximately 10 years of his
Mufti Sahib, you just want to move a little bit. We're not getting you clearly. The line is breaking up.
Can you hear me now, Mufti Sahib?
Yes, we can hear you now, sir.
Yes. He came to Harbi and spent approximately 10 years. He was with his mashwara and targheeb. The madrasa was initiated. And, you know, Harbi is a place that is in a remote area, absolutely cold, freezing cold. But Maulana withstood all that. For many, many years, he would get up Fajr time in Harbi, which was very difficult. And he would get the children up, we're talking about reverted children from all the surrounding areas. He would get them up, and he would get them up for Fajr, teach them their sabak, get them ready for school, and wait for them to come in the afternoon, and ensure they come on time. And he should teach them right, but even after the madrasa time was over, he should teach them. So his sincerity and dedication. And for Maulana Zainul, I would just like to add that, he was such an experienced teacher that he was able to start a child from zero, from Alif Ba, and within 6 months, that child was able to recite the Quran Sharif. So he had this amazing potential that a child who had no knowledge of deen whatsoever from a river child coming from a secluded area, he would start from Alif Ba, and within 6 months, before Allah Ta'ala, that child was able to recite the Quran Sharif. So he has some amazing qualities. But, you know, the presence of this buzurg in our madrasa was an ajeeb, such a ni'mat for us, that all the ahlullah that used to come to the madrasa, they should mention that aapke madrasa mein hum sakina mahsoos kar rahe.
Allahu Akbar.
That in your madrasa we can find sakina here. Now, we obviously, me as the principal of the madrasa, I felt no sakina whatsoever. Because you're always involved in all the nitty-gritties of the madrasa on a daily basis.
Gee,
but,
gee.
But all the ahlullah that used to come to the madrasa, they used to say that Amkir madrasa is from Sakina Mahsus Karre. And Waqi, it wasn't one buzuk, many buzuk mentioned the same thing. And in my heart, I knew that was because of the presence of a wali of our time who was amongst us and living in Harim. So we were very, very fortunate. But Allah make us maaf that we never make his sahih khidmat and that we are unable to make his sahih qadar. Nevertheless, regarding his nisbat, now from all the callers and all that his life, definitely there is no doubt, undoubtedly, that he had a passion for jamaat work. And he spent a lot of time in jamaat and moving around with jamaat, and all the time he would be in tashkil and he would be in the masjid mahor and going out in gasht and kitab reading and motivation. There was undoubtedly, absolutely, he tried to uplift deen wherever he was from a grassroots level. And I think that is an alamat of his fanayat, such a great alim. In fact, Mawlana Ashraf Rangir rahmatullahi alayhi offered him to teach one of the Dora Hadith kitabs when he graduated in Rangir. And he mentioned it to me, but that time he had other responsibilities like looking after his father and all that, and the amount they would actually, he wouldn't have been able to survive had he carried on with that. That's why he had to be. So he had other reasons why. But nevertheless, the fact that he was such a great alim and he was able to humble himself to such an extent, I think that speaks volumes of the caliber of man he was. And as far as his nisbat is concerned, he was the first person in Zambia to afford an invitation to Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali to come to Zambia. He was the first da'i of Mawlana Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali to Zambia. And also, when he came to South Africa, he was the first da'i of Hazrat Mawlana Qamru Zaman Sahib Al-Abadi Damat Barakatuhum. And prior to have taken bayat on the hands of Hazrat Mawlana Qamru Zaman Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, I asked him, were you bayat to anybody before him? He said that yes, I was bayat to Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria Rahmatullah Alayh.
Subhanallah.
Alhamdulillah. And after I told him, I asked him, after Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria Rahmatullah Alayh, then who you made ruju to us? So he said, thereafter I made ruju to us Hazrat Muslim Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. And a lot of people who seen him, as far as his physique is concerned and as far as his surat was concerned, they would always compare him with the surat of Hazrat Mahmud al-Hasan Gangway rahmatullahi alayhi. So he even looked like his sheikh, and obviously the same filter of Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria rahmatullahi alayhi. But once when he went to to Kantaria, and Hazrat Mawlana Qamru Zaman Sahib used to conduct his khanqa, he still conducts his khanqa in Ramadan Sharif in Darulun Kantaria in the last ashara, then he met him for the first time and then he recognized Hazrat Mawlana Qamru Zaman Sahib, and then he took bayat on the hands of Hazrat Mawlana Qamru Zaman Sahib, and he became the ajalla khulafa of Hazrat Mawlana Qamru Zaman Sahib Daman Barakatuhum. When the information of his before I come to that when he stayed in Harim for 10 years and for some reasons, and especially for the cold, etc., he left Harim and came to Port Shepstone. Then obviously the climatic conditions were suitable for him, and he was close by to the masjid, and he got his zone in which he could start and intensify his preparation for the akhirat. Well, he was involved up to that point in ta'lim, ta'allum, and jamaat work. Even jamaat work he continued when he came to Port Shepstone. But when he came to Port Shepstone, what I found, that he had intensified his level of zikr especially. And he would sit in the masjid from Asr to Isha every day. And every day in the masjid, Asr to Isha, from his ma'amulat, making tilawat, making dua. And it was from his khususiyat that when he would make dua, he shouldn't just make ijtimai dua for the whole ummah. He should make dua fardan for the ummah. Whoever he knew, he would make dua for that person. That was the level of his ikhlas. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him, and he used to make zikr to such an extent. Sometimes when I used to be driving with him in the car, then I could feel that he's in zikr. So I would feel myself I should be ghafil of zikr, but just by sitting next to him, I would feel an inclination towards zikr. Then I should turn my eyesight towards him to see whether his tongue is moving. But what I found, that he was in zikr, but he was busy with qalbi zikr. When he was in the presence of other people, he would even try to conceal the zikr. And he would make qalbi zikr. Can you hear me?
Yes, Mawlana, we are hearing you, Mawlana.
He used to make qalbi zikr. And this zikr became so intense to the latter part of his life that I think it became like his nafs, like his breathing. Wherein a person is in the state of zikr all the time. So any moment
you would see Maulana, whether he is, especially in Khalwat, walking to the masjid, coming to the masjid, he was a person that I can say was in full, making his full tayari for his akhirah.
His
full tayari for his akhirah. And then, once my mother-in-law mentioned to us that his level of zikr has reached such an extent that even in his sleep he's starting to make zikr. And I basically heard this. So once I went with him in Safar, and we shared the same room. Being my father, he slept on the bed, and I slept on the floor. And during the course of the night, my eyes opened, and I heard Maulana making zikr in his sleep.
Subhanallah.
So his level of intensity of zikr towards the latter part of his life was mind-boggling. And the whole beauty and irony of the whole thing, which is a great lesson to all of us, that Maulana never ever aspired for a platform, for a podium, or for any khitab, or to be made a makhdoom. He was a true khadim of this ummah. And he truly and genuinely wanted to uplift the ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was not interested about his own respect in society, where the people made his qadr, never made his qadr, gave him the platform, gave him the maqam for dua. He wasn't cared about all that. He never wanted to be anybody's mahtum. He was a true khadim. And we know that Sayyidul Qawmi Khadimuhum, that the end of the day, finally, when his eyes closed, did we realize that we have lost such a khadim that we cannot replace. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him and give him the highest maqam in the akhirah. There are other aspects also, you know, these things that we generally overlook, but if you look at his fanatiyat, the other day he came home, that's what I heard, in the house, and he asked his daughter-in-law, do you have clothes for a child, for a baby? So they asked him, why do you want clothes for a baby? Said, Muazzin's wife. So he's making khiyal of the wife of the Muazzin. Then when I went to India, one of his relatives was having financial difficulty. He told me, he gave me a packet. He says, when you go to India, please take this number, phone this number, meet a certain person, this packet. So Hazrat Maulana had done so many good deeds, and he hid it to such an extent that nobody actually realized his maqam. Yesterday I met some of our senior people, like Hazrat Maqam Zamata, other Khulafa in Port Shepton, Hafiz Ayub Karwata, Damat Barakatuhum, and what he mentioned to me, that Hazrat Maulana was a father to him as well. Now, a man of his position and level to say, make such a statement, speaks volumes of the caliber of person that Hazrat Maulana Ali Sahib was, rahimahullah. Then when Maulana, we phoned Hazrat Maulana, actually, Mufti Masihullah, our ustad in our madrasa, he was present at the time of the death of Hazrat Maulana Ali Sahib, rahimahullah, and then we asked him to phone Hazrat Maulana Qamu Zamata. Hazrat Maulana Qamu Zamata, when he heard about the caveat of the mort of Hazrat Maulana Ali Sahib, rahimahullah, he said that wo bohat bare aadmi the. That one sentence of Hazrat Maulana Qamu Zamata was enough for all of us. That for Hazrat to make such a statement, ke wo bohat bare aadmi the, it shows that we people actually, we all fast asleep, we had wool over our eyes, and he made us believe that he is such a mahmoodi person, but in reality he was a giant of an awliya, and he's such a person that we actually never ever understood and appreciated so much. Nevertheless, before my final meeting with him, he told me that Maulana, the niyat that you'll have for the Darulum project, is that niyat still on board? So I told him, alhamdulillah, the niyat is still on board. Alhamdulillah, he was very satisfied when he heard that from me. And also, he asked the Mufti Masihullah, who runs the madrasa on a daily basis, that how is the madrasa doing? How many students are there in the madrasa? Are the students growing? So he would keep, and we knew he's our father, he's making dua for all of us. While he was alive, there was no need for us to grow up. We were all children, we knew our father is alive, he is there for us, he is there to make mashra, we can turn to a deen, we can turn for advice, we can turn for dua, whatever our needs are, we would ask him and then go to him. But obviously that after he has left, now we found that now we have become all of a sudden we are swimming in the deep end, and it's very difficult for us because we don't have the pillar of strength behind us anymore. But nevertheless, the lessons that he has taught us, we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may he give us tawfiq to respect a beautiful life that he has led and adhere to the pattern of life that he has led in accordance with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obviously there's so many aspects I can't actually cover all this in such a short period of time, because he was a man of great qualities, and as I told you, shrouded himself with shrouds and shrouds and shrouds of secrecy. Nevertheless, I would just like to say that there are people after me wanting to say a few words, and I'm sure everybody, all the listeners, want to listen to his last moments and the type of mood Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would afford him. I met Maulana Yusuf Bux the other day, and he told me, Maulana, when I looked at Maulana Ali a few days ago before he passed away, I thought to myself, a man of this caliber, how will Maud treat such a person? So I'm sure all the people listening want to listen to how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him not husnul khatima, Allah gave him ahsanul khatima. I'm sure everybody is wanting to hear that, so I would rather afford those brothers and Muslims to have set time to inshallah give you more detail regarding that.
Islam staff and our program. Our condolences to the family, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the children and the grandchildren live up to that standard and that personality that was in their father and their grandfather.
Haqqan, ameen, jazakallah for the beautiful dua, Maulana.
Jazakallah khairan, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We're going to ask our brother Tufail to get hold of Maulana Masihullah as well as Salahuddin, the two that were present at the time when Maulana had passed on, to make us understand what was it exactly that we had with regards to Maulana, that when he passed away, he had such a unique and such an amazing death. One of my friends, a person who helped us quite a bit in arranging this program, has sent me a few messages. I would just like to read some of that out. And that is, he says, every alim in Port Shepstone has the feeling of regret that we are unable to take from benefit as we ought to from such a great personality. Maulana was such, whenever he would hear bad news of a madrasa or anything else, he would keep quiet and he would make dua and he would never make any issue regarding it. Till the day Maulana left this world, he would walk for salah daily, although his body was in a lot of pain, but he would force himself to walk for salah. He loved his kids. He spoke to each of them as if though they still lived with him and that he was still responsible for them. When his daughter got sick, he would continuously ask us to make dua for him. Maulana was such, when he met the young ulama, he would impart advices, and he would come to my shop with the Jamaat Saathis, and he would ask me to give them the sihat. All the while I know he was telling me indirectly to go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would say, jump into this deep pool of Jamaat. Don't worry, you won't drown, but you will have to jump in blindly. And I think that is what we all need to aspire to, the work of Dawat and Tabligh. We have Maulana's son on. Maulana's son was also present at the time when Maulana had passed away. And I think it is something that we all ought to listen to. We're going to ask Brother Salahuddin to speak to us with regards to Maulana as a father, and also the final minutes in the life of Maulana Ali Musa Adam Rahimahullah. Brother Salahuddin, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Jazakallah for taking out your time this evening. Your thoughts of Maulana Ali as a father compared to those that spoke to him as a person of the community or as a sheikh or someone as an amir?
Actually, words fail me. I have no words to describe my marhum father, rahimullah. No words will do justice. I will have to leave that to the ulamas itself.
Jazakallahu khairan.
But I would like to share with my experience of the final evening and the final hour as I remember it with my father. My beloved father left his home for the last time around 4 p.m. on Wednesday, 14th of October, on the last day of Dhul Hijjah, when he left for the Asr Salah. My mother watched him walk for the last time and noticed that my father took tiny steps and looked as though he was struggling to walk. She watched him till he was out of sight. After the Asr Salah, he moved to his usual spot where he always read the Quran and his Ma'lumat every day. Then around 5 p.m., when the chest pains must have been severe, he just laid down and called Dr. Junaid Khan, who was not far away. The doctor immediately realized that my father was in a possible heart attack. Dr. Jureed and Maulana Yusuf Bhikkhu, who is the Imam Sahib of the masjid, decided to rush him to the hospital. While helping my father out of the masjid, my father stopped in the passage and told them to take him back into the masjid. My father only agreed to leave the masjid after he was assured that he will be brought back to the masjid after the checkup. The ECG report indicated that my father had an attack, and further tests of blood confirmed that it was a major attack. The physicians took over and started the treatment immediately. By 9 p.m., the physician told us that one or more of his arteries were blocked and that they needed to break the clot with a thrombosis treatment. We were warned of a few possible side effects, such as bleeding from any part of the body, etc. But alhamdulillah, my father had no side effects. All through the painful preparation and the treatment, my father kept reading and making zikr. Even the physician pointed out that your father keeps reading. They were surprised how composed my father was throughout the entire process. After the treatment, my father spoke to my mother, my brother, sister, sister-in-law, my nieces, etc. He told my mother not to worry and to go home and rest. He praised the doctors and nurses for taking good care of him. After the signs of improvement, we were all told to go home, and we left home at 1 a.m. Now, due to the strict visiting hours, we could not see him early in the morning. But at 8:28 a.m., I received a call from the hospital to say that my father's condition was not looking good. On reaching the hospital by around 8:35, my father saw me walk towards him, and he raised his hand and beckoned me. I held his hand, and the first thing he told me was, "Mano khyal rakhjo." They told me to say, "Take care of mommy." The physician told me his heart had taken a beating and was severely damaged due to the attack. Apparently, this was a second attack. They confirmed that my dad had an attack before, but we were not aware of it. I turned to my father. He looked in discomfort, but I could see he was reading. My father asked for water, which I was able to give him with the help of a syringe. Soon I was joined by my brother Hassan, and my sister followed suit. My father held our hands again and repeated the same words, to take care of my mother. My father asked for water again, and alhamdulillah, we were able to give Zamzam water this time.
Subhanallah.
By 8:45 to 8:50, my father was in Sakrat. He kept reading the Kalima Shahada. And each time he read the Kalima Shahada, his right index finger rose and pointed upwards. He kept making zikr. And anyone who has heard my father making dua can recall his unique way of making dua. In the manner he kept repeating, "Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Malik, Ya Parwardigar, Ya Malik, Ya Allah." Then he would do the kalima again and again. He kept repeating that. And then he also made a dua to say, "Ya Allah, meri maghfirat farma. Ya Allah, meri maghfirat farma." Meaning, "Ya Allah, forgive me. Ya Allah, puri ummat ki maghfirat farma. Ya Allah, puri ummat ki maghfirat farma." Basically, he asked for forgiveness not only for himself, but for the whole ummah. By around 9 a.m., he raised his hand and told us, "Badda ne mari salam kijo. Puri ummah ne mari salam kijo." He gave his salams to everybody. He gave his salams to the whole ummah. We are thankful that Mufti Masallah was also with us at the time, and probably he'll touch on the significance of the duas my father made. Around 9:10 a.m., my father pulled out his oxygen mask, turned to his right, read the kalima and shahada, and read the dua which our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read before he just passed away. At that stage, my mother walked in. My father opened his eyes wide, looked at his beloved wife for the last time. He then turned onto his back and kept reading quietly. By 9:15, my father started exhaling from his mouth. And at 9:17, on 1st of Muharram, he went into the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while looking up and gazing upwards.
Allahu Akbar.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill my beloved father's qabr with nur.
Ameen.
May Allah grant him the highest stages in Jannah. May Allah accept all the du'as my father made all throughout his life, and especially those which he made right at the very end. Ameen.
Ameen. Ameen, inshallah. Brother Tufail was very kind to us, the engineer for today. He's managed to take out the CD and play a clip for us. We will be listening now to a clip, inshallah. And we will be able to listen to Moranas after we heard the way he passed away. And we'll get more information from Masihullah, inshallah, to listen to Morana Ali Adam Musa, rahimahullah, and to just hear his voice before we come to the end of our program. Tufail.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم آپ مجھے دیکھ رہے ہیں اور میں آپ کو دیکھ رہا ہوں میری عمر میری ایج کے شاید بہت ہی کم اس مجلس میں میں بوڑھا آدمی ہوں اور ایک بہت بڑے ولی اللہ جو بوڑھے تھے یعنی حضرت خواجہ نظام الدین اولیاء رحمۃ اللہ علیہ حضرت خواجہ نظام الدین اولیاء رحمۃ اللہ علیہ بہت بڑے بزرگ ہیں جو ہماری جماعت نظام الدین جاتی ہے ان کے پیچھے ان کا مزار ہے زبردست اللہ والے آدمی ان کے پاس ایک آدمی آیا وہ رامپور کا رہنے والا تھا شہر ہے ہندوستان میں ایک رامپور تو وہاں سے وہ حضرت کے لیے حضرت نظام الدین اولیاء رحمۃ اللہ علیہ کے لیے کوئی گفٹ لایا کچھ تحفہ لے کر آیا اور یہ قاعدہ ہے کہ بھائی بزرگوں کے پاس جاتے ہیں ہم کچھ نہ کچھ تحفہ لے کر جاتے ہیں تو وہ تحفہ لے کر آیا وہ تحفے میں سیزر لایا سیزر جب سیزر لے کر آئے وہ تو حضرت نے ان کو بٹھایا دعا دی اور فرمایا دیکھو کہنا یہ ہے میرے بھائی فرمایا کہ یہ تو خانقاہ ہے نظام الدین کی خانقاہ ہے یہاں تو دین کا نظام چلتا ہے چلو خیر تم سیزر لائے کیا ہی اچھا ہوتا کہ تم سوئی اور تاگا لے کر آتے یعنی یہ سیزر لائے اس کا مطلب یہ ہے کہ تم کاٹنے والا آلہ لے کر آئے تم اس جماعت کے اندر ایسا کیوں آلہ لے کر نہ آئے کہ جو جماعت کو ایک کرنے والی ہو سوئی اور تاگا لے کر آتے تو اس سے لوگوں کے دل جڑتے لوگوں کے قلوب جیڑتے میرے بھائیوں یہ نصیحت ہے آپ دور دور سے آئے ہیں اپنا بہت وقت قیمتی کر کے آئے ہیں اب یہاں سے کیا لے کر جائیں ہم ہمیں یہاں سے اس گلدستے سے جو بہترین کس نے کیسے گلدستہ بنتا ہے ہاتھ میں اس میں جو ہی گلاب ہے کیورا ہے چمیلی ہے ہر قسم کے پھول ہوتے ہیں وہ آپ کے ہاتھوں میں دیے میرے محترم دوست.
Friends, before we get Maulana Masihullah, I just want to bring a little translation of what Maulana said, and just very briefly, Maulana said that someone came and gave him a present, and in that present to the Nizamuddin Markaz, he brought a scissor. So this person said, and he was not a Muslim, he said, you brought me a scissor, but how much nicer would it be if you bought a needle and a cotton? So the person said, what's the difference? Why would I have to do something like that? He said, the scissor is used to cut things, and a needle is cotton is used to patch things up. We are here in the Khanqa and in the place of Reformation. How much nicer would it be, instead of bringing us things that break things apart, you brought us instruments that patch us together. And for me, this is something phenomenal and amazing that we can hear from the program and that we learn. We have with us Mufti Masihullah Qaji Damat Barakatum, a good friend of ours also, alhamdulillah, who was at the last moments when Maulana had passed away. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Maulana, you lost a great ustad and a alim of the area. South Africa has lost a great personality. You want to share with the listeners the last few moments of Maulana's life and what he meant to you as an ustad?
Inshallah, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. أحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسول الكريم أما بعد. As you have mentioned, Mullah Ubaydullah Sahib, we have lost our Ustad Muhtaram, Hazrat Mullah Ali Sahib, Rahmatullahi Alayh. And as Mufti Sahib, Ustad, beloved Ustad Mufti Yaqub Sahib mentioned before, that we have not recognized Mullah Ali Sahib. And Mullah Ali Sahib, from long, he was preparing for these last moments. In fact, if we look at the Anbiya Alayhi Salatu Wasalam as well, they were also preparing for these final moments as well. Allah speaks in the Quran al-Majid regarding Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. After Allah had given him kingdom of Egypt and Allah had given him control over everything, he made these final du'as and he said, Rabbi qad atitani min al-mulki wa allamtani min ta'wil al-ahadith. And he praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he said, Allah, you have given me everything. The last thing I ask for you, O my Allah, tawaffani muslima wa al-shiqni lis-salihin. This was a du'a of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. We see Hazrat Mawlana Ali Sahib that Wednesday night when he took ill the first of Muharram, our beloved Ustad Mufti Yaqub Sahib was gone overseas and I went to the hospital in his place. And we see, I went to see Mawlana and I asked him, how are you Mawlana? And he says, no, alhamdulillah, he's okay. He's just got some chest pains. So I told Mawlana, if he wishes, I'll spend the night by his side. He said, no, I'm going to take some medication. I'm going to sleep now and I'll be okay. And he narrated the incident. He was praying. After Salah, he was reading Quran and Majid. We see Maulana's last footsteps was towards the masjid. His last action was the Salatul Asr. After Asr, he took out the Quran. These were his last actions. And then while I was standing at Maulana's bedside on Wednesday evening, for about 5 minutes, now look at Maulana, his entire life, he was always making khiyal, and he always had fikr for others. He told me, Maulana, why are you standing? Why don't you grab a chair and sit down? So I'm thinking to myself, Maulana just had a heart attack and he's worried about me standing for a few minutes. Nevertheless, on Thursday morning, the call came that Maulana is not too well, go to the hospital. I reached the hospital around 10 to 9 and I went there, and as Hassan mentioned, Salahuddin was there, Hassan was there, and Mustafa's family was there. I took the hand of Maulana Ali Sahib and I read Surah Yasin, and Maulana was making zikr in that while, and we see, if we look at the final few moments of Hazrat Mawlana Ali Sahib rahmatullah alayh, it was very similar and it actually mirrored the image of a lot of aspects with the life of the demise of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We see Maulana in the last few minutes, I heard him mention, he says that Allahumma ghfirli, Allah forgive me. And we studied the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In his final moment as well, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam read the same dua. And then Maulana Ali Sahib mentioned, Allahumma ghfir li ummati Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also had the fikr for his ummah at the last moment. Then Maulana Sahib read the famous dua, which we know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited. I was at his bedside. Allah gave me the tawfiq to hear. Maulana said once or twice, Allahumma bir rafiq al-a'la. Allahumma bir rafiq al-a'la. And we know that when Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was leaving this dunya, he chose the companionship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maulana as well, he was also desirous and eager to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maulana also recited the kalima, he made some zikr, and Maulana left this world in such a manner. If I just have to encapsulate the life of Maulana in one poem of Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions that مَاتَ قَوْمٌ وَمَا مَاتَ مَكَارِمُهُمْ وَعَاشَ قَوْمٌ فِي النَّاسِ وَهُمْ أَمْوَاتُ. He says that many people have passed on, but their akhlaq and their character and their good manners, it's as if they're still amongst us. And many people, that they are living amongst us, but their akhlaq and bad character and bad manners has killed them. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one of the highest degrees in Jannah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also give us tawfiq to make the tayari and preparation for when our time comes.
Ameen, Maulana, Jazakallah so much. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant ni'am al-badal to the people of the area, inshallah, and to us as well. Jazakallah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Respected listeners, we had a bumper 2 hours discussing, speaking, and getting motivation from the life of a great personality, Hazrat Maulana Ali Adam Musa rahimahullah. And I think it's important for each one of us. There is a senior alim, a senior person, a great personality in our midst. Wallah, no one is going to be here forever. No one is here to be perpetual. Let us take lessons from them. Let us benefit from them. Let us sit in their company. Let us take from that wisdom that they have learned, that spiritual box that they have in their heart. Let us also take some of that, and let us also benefit from their spirituality as well. Because wallah, 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 friends, these are the true friends of Allah. These are the people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us that وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Go with the truthful people. And these are the people that truly will be of great benefit for us in so many different ways. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant Maulana Jannatul Firdaus. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant the family sabr jameel and grant us a ni'mal badal and an appropriate replacement, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.